talk about this year. It's hard to believe that it's starting up and now I have to kind of switch gears. And we've done a lot of preparation, a lot of people on the team have worked hard. And we sense, again, God's blessing on it, and this is His study. He has drawn us here. He is present. And as the song the sisters led for us, He knows our name. He knows everything about us. He cares. What wonderful truths. So He calls us into relationship with Himself. So that's what we're here to nurture, to get to know Him better, to grow closer to Him. We have an exciting year ahead. The topic generally for the year is hope in troubled times. But we have hope in all times. And as my summer was a mixed bag of things, hard and joyful, I imagine perhaps many of you experienced that. And in our world, we've got lots of hard things happening. As two of our kids experienced layoffs, we see, you know, in the paper, it's almost 10%, you know, of unemployment. And these are some hard times. And the ripple effect, and sometimes direct effect, are impacting us. We see, where is God? He's here. He's in control. There's hope. In the midst of it, for each of us, whatever it is that we're going through. So our topic is hope in troubled times, as well as all times. And the study book that you picked up this morning is a Woman of Faith study for fall, understanding purpose, and how God is sovereign, whatever is going on, and has all these different purposes for us that He will be faithful to fulfill. So we'll be exploring that together. Then in winter, spring, we're going to take on Revelation with great dependency on the Holy Spirit. And hope for our world, hope in the midst of all that we see going on, that the wars and all. You know, God is on the throne. And not as He just overseeing everything with that sovereign control, but intimately and intricately involved in each of our lives, walking with us, assuring us He is with us and He will fulfill His purposes. Exciting. Now this study, we've talked a lot about purpose in the past. This is has a little different take on it. The author, Carolyn Custis James, writes from our purpose as a woman, which is different than what we usually look at. Some chapters will probably be, you'll enjoy and feel a connection with, perhaps more than others. But she assures us that there's unique purposes for all of us. There's not just one cookie cutter role. And that each is special. And each has its own purposes. So she says, nobody is left out because God created each of us uniquely and has specific plans for each of us that are individually designed. So I think it'll be a good study and we'll enjoy it together. So before we get into it for this morning, and we will go over together at first, which is different than what we usually do since you've just received your books, we'll take a look at some of the highlights in the introduction and chapter one together today. And do be sure to follow along in that table of contents because sometimes we've combined a couple chapters. So we don't want any surprises there. And then for next week, it would be great if you prepare chapter two. If you have time, go back over chapter one because there's some great things in there. So before we begin getting into this study, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we do thank You that You know each of us here, all those things going on in our lives and our hearts. Thank You, You call us by name. Thank you that there are special purposes prepared for each of us that you will be faithful to fulfill, whatever the obstacles or challenges. Thank you that you are the sovereign, living Lord, and you hold our lives in your hands. So, Lord, as we approach this study this morning, as we look at who you are and what you have prepared for us, we pray that it would be your Spirit that would open these truths to us, stir our hearts within us, excite us for who you are, and give us that, renew that hunger, deepen it, to know you better and walk with you more closely. So we commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we said, there were mixed things going on in our world. You know, with the economy, with this downturn, many of us are experiencing challenges, whether it's our family directly or extended family, close friends. We're all being impacted. And sometimes it can be scary. You know, bankruptcies are increasing. Savings are being depleted. We think, is God in control now with all of this? And the good news of the Bible is yes. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the creator and the concluder. He has plans and purposes for this world, as well as our lives. So that's the good news, that he will be faithful to fulfill them. And in this study, we'll look together at page 4, Roman numeral 4, in the foreword that is by Sheila Walsh. And she's speaking of women of faith and these women of faith studies. And she says, the central message is, God sees you just as you are. He loves you just the way you are. And he has a purpose for you. And over on the next page, it says, living a life of purpose may require all we have, but it's not intended to leave us burned out, dissatisfied, or feeling far away from God. And she says, until we see him face to face, we will all experience moments of pain and sadness. We live in this world. We're a part of that world. So how then do we define a life of purpose? Well, she starts out by giving a primary, overall, basic purpose for each of us, the true purpose of every woman, to love God with all we have and are, and allow that love to overflow to others. The first commandment. So we turn over to page 7, Roman numerals, and she shares part of her story there, what her experience was. Different than what she had planned when she was a child. She had this picture of what it was going to be like, and that didn't happen. And she said, you know, she struggled with that and then discovered that God intends us to flourish no matter what shape our lives take. He's wise enough to anticipate the snags, tragedies, and heartaches we experience, and has built into his blueprint the kind of flexibility that life in a broken world demands. We turn over to page 12 in the chapter 1. And she writes, our lives are not all the same, and we do not all follow the same path. As many women's lives appear at a standstill because marriage, children, the dream career, or financial success simply hasn't happened. Perhaps we feel that we've made such a mess of things, that we've lowered our expectations. We see, is God still in control? Will he still fulfill his purposes for us? Well, we turn over to page 14, and we see some scriptures there that encourage us. From Isaiah. And she writes, Isaiah lived during a dark time, perhaps much a time like it's going on in our world. Everything was falling apart. There were more reasons to despair than to hold on to hope. Isaiah looked away from the chaos around him to the God who rules over heaven and earth, and his confidence revived. And in the book of Isaiah, we have these scriptures. From Isaiah 46, I am God. There is no other. I make known the end from the beginning. My purpose will stand. Phew. Psalm 33. Psalmist writes, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. And David, number 6 on the next page, from Psalm 57:2, says, I cry out to God who fulfills his purposes for me. And then again he says in Psalm 138, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. We can stand on that, hope in it. There's hope. Whatever goes on, either in our personal lives or the world around us, God's purpose will stand firm. And we'll look more at that today. Then at the bottom of the page, she writes, the Bible tells us that our plans and purposes may fail, but God's purposes never will. That the ups and downs of life, the wickedness of others, our failures and mistakes, the tragic reversals of life, nor the strongest powers in heaven or on earth can destroy God's purpose or force him to adjust his plans. Is this true? So, what hope? What peace? What excitement to walk with him? And she gives other scriptures there, and then on page 18, reassures us, God will not allow anything to interfere with his good purposes for his children, nor does he accomplish his purposes for one child at the expense of another. Because he is God, he's big enough to do this. So we draw strength and courage from the fact that our lives are in God's hands and that he is accomplishing his purposes for them. Truth from the Word of God. Jerry Bridges, in his book Trusting God, Even When Life Hurts, endorses that, again, just right out of God's Word. But he also underscores, not only are the willful, malevolent acts of other people under God's sovereign control, so also are the mistakes and failures of other people. God's amazing, and it's complex. He gives us our free will, knows what it is that we will choose, and has already gone before to work his purposes, allowing that, and setting limits. Sovereign. It says, nothing is so small or trivial as to escape the attention of God's sovereign control. Nothing is so great as to be beyond his power to control it. No detail of your life is too insignificant for your heavenly Father's attention. No circumstance is so big that he can't control it. Hope in the midst of whatever's going on, because of who our God is, who invites us to walk with him. Is there an echo? Here, are you? Is it just me hearing it, or is there a little? Is it okay? Okay. There's an encouraging example of a woman in Scripture that you're probably familiar with, but that speaks to a lot of these dynamics that we're talking about and truths. And her life is an encouragement to me. So I thought, well, let's look at Rahab together for a little bit this morning. Her story is found in the first chapters of Joshua, the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. Now, who was Rahab? She was a Gentile, a Canaanite. She lived in the city of Jericho, in the land of Canaan. She was a prostitute. She had a lot going on in her life that she thought she heard about this living God and might have thought, well, will he care about me? There was an imposing threat to their city. The people there, living there, had heard that God had given their land and their city to the Israelites. They had heard about all this living God had done so far, parting the Red Sea, all the miracles that had occurred. And Rahab said, as we'll look at in a little bit, but she, as the spies, those who were sent to check out the city, she was talking with them. She says, I know the Lord has given you this land. We are all afraid. Everyone is living in terror. For we have heard all these things that God has done. And she said, the Lord your God is the supreme God. So there was this imposing threat. This army was coming to take their land. They had heard that God had given it. They were all afraid. We see, there was a lot to be fearful of. What hope did she have? One of the Canaanites, living in enemy territory, a prostitute. Her circumstances seemed overwhelming. But all were terrified, but she had hope in God. She said, I know who he is. And then as they talked more, as you know, they pledged to her that they would save her. And we see, what about us in our lives? What circumstances are overwhelming? Are there any? What threats do you feel are out there and getting closer? What fears do you have? Well, in this, Rahab hoped in God. We see, what did he do? Well, there was a glimmer of hope for her. He sent spies to check it out. And providentially, they went to her house. See, God's control. They didn't know anything about her. But again, we see God knew. They just haphazardly went into the city to check things out. Her house happened to be providentially in the city wall. So that's where they ended up going. And they felt like, well, we'll just blend in. We won't stand out. She's a prostitute. Men are coming and going. We won't draw attention to ourselves. It's a glimmer of hope. And she talked with them. And she asked to be saved with her family. And they gave her their word, which was the word of God that she knew that she could stand on. So she had that hope. And one of the encouraging things to me in this is that God knew her heart. God knew everyone in the city. She wasn't just clumped in there, one of those who lives in Jericho. She wasn't thought, well, she's an enemy. And just that whole land, they're put together in that group. God never lumps people together. We're individuals to him. He knows our hearts. And he knew her heart was for him. She'd been hearing about this living God. She knew he was the supreme God. She had a heart for him and to know him. God knew it and responded. That's so encouraging to me. He knows our hearts. Also, we see his grace, and this encourages me. She was a prostitute and a woman, obviously. But women in those times weren't, you know, highly thought of. She could have thought, here I am a woman. I'm in enemy territory. I'm a prostitute. What hope is there for me? But we see the grace and the love of God, that he loved her and knew her heart for him, and in his grace came and rescued her. That helps me. Sometimes we can beat ourselves up and we think, well, I don't deserve God's help. Who am I? Sometimes the enemy maybe comes in and whispers, look how you messed up. You think God will help you? He's so disappointed. No, we look at Rahab, and this is encouraging. God loved her, knew her heart, in grace rescued her to bring her to himself. And that's the same grace he extends to us each day. Yes, we all fail. Yes, we struggle. But he says, God is faithful. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. Because we are a part of him. He can't disown us. We belong to him. Paul says in Romans 8, nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. Nothing we do, nothing that happens to us, nothing can separate us from his love. And he's drawn us to himself. So we have hope. So we see his grace towards her. And we see his power. Look what he did. First of all, there were many obstacles for the Israelites to even arrive at Jericho. The Jordan River that they first had to cross was at flood stage. It was overflowing its banks, and they had to cross it. That would seem like an overwhelming obstacle, but we know what he did with the Red Sea, and he did it again with the Jordan. There's no circumstance that's impossible for God. He says the waters piled up on either side, and they crossed again on dry land in the midst of flood stage. This is God. So we see his power. Well, then the spies had told Rahab, given him their word that she would be rescued, and the Lord had told Joshua how to do this battle. They weren't experienced warriors. This was a formidable city that they were coming against, experienced warriors. The city was fortified, thick walls all the way around, and a big gate at the entrance. How were they going to take that city? Well, God gave them direction. As we know, march around it for 6 days in silence, one time, then on the seventh day, march 7 times. And then when I tell you shout and blow the trumpets. And he said, the walls will just fall down. Sounds a little bizarre, far-fetched, but they were obedient. And that's exactly what happened. God did what he said. We see his power to fulfill his promises and his purposes. See, all his promises and purposes were accomplished by his power. Nothing was too hard. Nothing was overwhelming. The Lord never says, well, I didn't think about that. Or, wow, this is a toughie. And he looks at your life. And it's not overwhelming to him. He has a plan. And he says, I go before you to open a way, to guide, to provide. He's faithful. This is who our God is. Nothing's impossible. So we have reason to hope today and be encouraged, whatever's going on. I know there are many fun things. We hear about weddings being planned and babies being born and trips planned. Lots of wonderful things. But in the midst of it, is there anything that is a little overwhelming? We don't look at the circumstances. Joshua didn't look, wow, this city is so well fortified. Oh, their soldiers are so well armed. No, they looked at God. And they saw him faithful. So we have reason to be encouraged. Whatever circumstance we feel is threatening and maybe a little fearful to us. We see also that it's good things, not just in hard times, that he fulfills his purposes. We all have probably stories of ways we've seen God guide and lead and fulfilled despite circumstances. I know in one of the downturns that we had here back in 1990, I had to go to work and hadn't worked in many years, and I was on Young Life staff, and that didn't qualify you for a lot in the business world. And so, but I needed a job. So sent this application, and I kind of thought that I think this is the one. And I went in and interviewed. There were 500 applicants for that one job, all with experience. They knew the computer programs. They knew how to fax. I'd heard about faxing. This was in the, you know. So, you know, it looked pretty bleak. But miraculously, by the grace of God, I got the job. It was a secretary to the president of this property management company and the receptionist. They had to take me from ground zero, you know, teaching me everything. I didn't know the computer program. I didn't know how to use these machines. But God was gracious. And actually, I felt like I've gone to school and got paid for it. I learned all these things that were good for me to know. But I saw, look at God being faithful. All the obstacles that were before me. But he had that place for me and opened it, led me to it. So we see that. And then in fun times, and my sister just recently retired. She lives up in Fort Collins, and she was thinking, okay, now what do I do? And she was in marketing for all those years and wanted something to do. And so she was, again, just kind of growing in the Lord, and she said, Lord, do you have a purpose for me and something that's meaningful? I want to do something with significance. But she didn't know what it was. Well, then it came through a variety of circumstances and people. She's always loved horses. And so she heard of this need to have people walk with special needs kids in a horse program. It's an organization that helps them, both kids and adults, with challenges, either mental or physical. And they take them out on these horses. And it's being so helpful to them. And she says, well, I could do that. So in the summer, she started doing that. And once a week, and she liked it. And she said, I want more. And she thought, well, I don't, you know, Lord, what more do you have for me? Well, then it all unfolded that their marketing was not very good. And they had a lot of financial needs because they relied on support of individuals in the community. So she thought, well, I can help with that. And so she's doing their marketing. And last night, she said she received a phone call and they've asked her to be on their board. Yeah. You know, it's just, and then she said they went to a community picnic in the area where they live on the 4th of July, and she met this woman that lived across the pond that she had seen frequently but never had met. She got to talking with her, found out her background is also marketing, and she's been looking for something to do. And this woman has the contacts in town. She's been there a long time, knows people. So she said, she's going to come alongside my sister, and they're going to do this together. And I think, Lord, look. You know, just little things. God's sovereignly ordering. When we crossed the street, you know, I've shared the story when we had the refugee family live with us. And how God used, we just happened to be crossing the street after church one Sunday. Walked with some people that were going to go with the refugees. This was when the boat people were coming back in the 70s, I believe it was. Maybe 80s. It's all a blur. But we just happened to walk across the street with them, and it was, they were telling us where they were going. And we thought, and the Lord used that to sow a seed. Well, then we called and said, well, Lord, do you have any needs with to help? Well, no, they were pretty well set. So we thought, but Lord, you're stirring our hearts with this, and you're putting this on our hearts and as a family. And so we said, you, if this is what you have, lead us to it. Open the door. Well, then the next day, and it often, as you know, doesn't happen that immediately, but the next day in the paper, the front of the metro section, was homes needed for refugee families. Big, bold headline. And we got involved in that. And the family we had are still close friends. And they came to know the Lord. And they are involved in missions in their church and in California, but also they've gone back to China and to Vietnam. Wow! Look what God's doing. That he sovereignly orchestrated that conversation. And we can look back on our lives and see, wow, that phone call or somebody I was just sitting next to at a luncheon, the conversation took that direction, and suddenly God's opening things for us. But it's his. We just move with him. And then our joy in him increases. Our delight in seeing how big he is and how involved in details of our lives, how he cares. It's very exciting. But sometimes the circumstances can be challenging and can raise some doubts within us. And that's okay. God wants to meet us in those, and he invites us to bring them, wrestle with them in it. He wants to lead us into truth. So he wants us to be honest with where we are and what we're struggling with and what we're feeling. He already knows. He says, bring them to me and I'll lead you into truth that will give you peace and hope and establish us in faith. And I think of Rahab again, putting myself in her place. Did she have doubts? My guess is she may have. I would have. You know, here these spies came, they gave her their word that they were going to come back and she would be saved and everybody in her family there in the house. And so what did she do? Did she go out then, I would imagine, and get her family? Did they have that same hope in God? Maybe not. She says, if you want to be saved, come and be with me in my home. They're coming. And they promised we'll be protected. Well, they all came, and I got to thinking, what was that like for her to have a house full of people and meals, you know, and all this? And then it was a week till the Israelites actually came. Was she expecting them right away? I think she would have thought, well, the spies would have gotten back there and probably not too far a journey, and then they're going to be here. So, okay, get ready. Let's watch. He promised. Day after day, nobody was coming. Well, did they change their minds? Did the city seem too overwhelming? Did they decide to go a different direction? where did her family start to say, "Are you crazy?" Then they came. They didn't look like much. You know, are they saying, "Well, they don't have weapons. A few have swords. Look at all that we have here. You're crazy." Did the circumstances cause doubt in her? Well, then they walked around the city once and left. Did she think, oh, they were too discouraged, they were too overwhelmed? Did doubt start to come in? Did her family start saying to her, well, what about your rescue now? Here they came, there they went. Hope. You know, disappointment. Confusion. Why didn't they rescue? The next day, same thing. And so on. And did the enemy start to whisper, the enemy Satan, who whispers these lies of who God is, did he whisper to her, "They're not going to save you. You're a prostitute." You know, did she start beating herself up? Well, why would I think they would rescue me? I'm not worthy. Do we have these lies that can drag us down? Either that we do to ourselves, or the enemy whispers in us? You don't really think God cares about you, do you? Doesn't look like it. May not feel like it. I've been in those dark, dark times. It's a painful place to be. We cry out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" And the enemy comes in and says, "Well, he really doesn't care about you." You know? And it looks that way and feels that way. But we know truth. He does for each of us. And in his grace, he reaches out to us. So what was going on within her? And what about you? Well, we see that God did fulfill his purposes. He did fulfill his promises. Nothing was impossible. He kept his word. And he's a God who keeps his word today. He says he cannot lie. There is no darkness in him. He's pure. He's good. He's holy. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. Nothing's impossible. Nothing's too overwhelming. He's in control. And we see in his grace, not only did he rescue Rahab and her family, but many feel that it was one of the spies was Salmon, who ended up marrying her. And she ended up to be King David's great-grandmother. And she's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. There's her name, Rahab. Rahab the prostitute. Praise God. That encourages me. There's a place for me. He will fulfill his purposes. He loves us just as we are. He is the faithful, living God who's involved in details, knows us completely. He never looks at a circumstance and says, "Whoa, now that's an overwhelming one." He's already known, he's already seen, already made provision. Exciting truths. So he invites us to wrestle with our doubts, leads us into truth, and then he wants us to stand on it. This summer, I was struggling at one point. Going back over those truths that I know and that I keep asking him, and he keeps leading me into truth. Yes, he's faithful. Yes, his way is perfect. This is who he is. You can trust him at all times. And, oh, there I go again. Well, what about this? And this time, you know, and it gets overwhelming. And then I was awake in the night, and really it was a battle. And I felt like the enemy was really trying to drag me down and take me into despair and fear. And the lies of, that God is not all of this, at least not in this time. And I'm saying, Lord, you know, what is truth? Who are you? And then the phrase from the hymn, How Firm a Foundation, came into my mind. What more can he say than to you he has said? Over and over and over I've come. He's led me into truth. He's renewed my assurance in those truths. And here I am again. What more can I say than to you I have said? Okay, accept it. Receive it. Stand on it. Live according to it. Don't let this throw you. God desires his people to be stand strongly in faith at all times. So then the verse came to mind from Deuteronomy 32:4. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. Okay, and I have this picture in my mind of a stake in the ground of my faith. And to put it in there, he is a faithful God who does no wrong. Stand on it and don't go back there again. He's shown me, he's given me, you know, established me in it, given reasons that I can believe this. Now live on it. Stand on it. And Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. Trust at all times with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. What about his purposes? All the things he's promised and all the things that he said he will do. What about that? Job 42:2. I know that you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. Stand on it. Live according to it. And there is challenged. There were more times after that that I was tempted to go, do I ask that question again? No. I'm going to pound that stake in a little harder. Not going there. I know who he is. And I'm going to stand on it and live accordingly. And I say, it's true. It's true. We put ourselves through so much. When we agonize over this and despair on this, and if we haven't been visited that doubt yet, it's important to do so because he will lead us into the truth of it and establish it. But once he's done that and has repeated it, it's time to stand on it. Live accordingly today. He's the faithful God who does no wrong. Trust in him with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. I know that you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. This is who he is for each of us. He's covenanted with us to be this God. He wants us to thank him for it and live on it. There's hope today. Our God loves us. He's aware. He's in control. He says, I will help you. I am with you at all times. Take heart and stand on the truths of God's word. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are who you say you are. We thank you that we can stand on the Word of God. These are truths of who you are. Thank you that you invite us to come with our doubts. You invite us to wrestle with you in them. Thank you for your promise that you will then lead us into the truth and establish us. Then, Lord, help us stand once we've done that, to glorify you with our faith and to give us hope and encouragement and peace, a peace that passes understanding in the midst of whatever's going on around us. We thank you that you are the faithful God. We thank you that you do no wrong. We thank you that you are fully trustworthy, and we can trust in you at all times, even the times we don't understand. We thank you that your purposes will remain true, that you have the power to accomplish all that you desire. We thank you for your unconditional love for each of us. How you desire to meet each of us today, the places of our needs, we thank you that you know what those are. We thank you that you care. Thank you that you wrap your arms around us and you say, "Do not fear, I am with you." Lord, we praise you for who you are and for this wonderful group of friends you've drawn together to fellowship in you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.